Adelaide.
You're with Peter Gers
on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
I met Michael Alder down at Holden Street Theatres during the Fringe, where he was a volunteer and did a great job. A fantastic season down there, this Fringe. And you are... Welcome to the show, Michael. Thanks for coming in.
Good evening, Peter.
Now, you are an anti-ICE campaigner. You're part of the Australian anti-ICE campaign. Why?
I formerly used ICE and it's destroyed my life.
When did you use it?
After a relationship breakup in Melbourne, I was at the top of my career.
Doing what?
Working in general management in a health precinct.
Yes, sure.
Yes. And
why did you take ICE? How easy was it to get?
Well, unfortunately, back in Melbourne, it started actually a recreational amount back, introduced in when I was in England. And having come back and to Australia and progressed my life and got into that position, and life was fantastic. Unfortunately, at that very moment in Melbourne, it was very easy to access. It was broken heart, relationship, no family in Melbourne, so having come from Adelaide, Greek family.
Sure. And did you smoke it or eat it or inject it?
It could be used in any of those forms, but smoking.
Yes, in one of those glass pipes.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
Well, at the time, it cuts the pain from that I was feeling in that relationship.
And it comes on very fast, doesn't it?
Within 3 minutes or so.
And then is it like cocaine? Is it very empowering?
So sympathetic nervous system drug, so it's the same group and class. But
so cocaine, you suddenly feel, you know, you could take on the world.
Yeah, cocaine gives you a certain high, but then I think the dopamine levels in ICE is through the roof, unfortunately.
Yes, it is. It's a very, very powerful drug.
Yeah.
And it's kind of instantly addictive, isn't it?
Yeah, just after that one time.
You can't sort of say, oh, well, look, you know, like people do with dope, oh, you know, I'll have it now and again. It's not like that, is it?
No, that's right.
How expensive is it?
People can buy a point for $50. Yeah.
And how long does that point, as it's called?
Well,
that's like a lump, isn't it?
It's some glass shard. But the thing is with this drug, so you buy it once and initially it may last a long time, but what's happening is through your neurons, your synapses releasing all that dopamine, it destroys the transporters in your brain.
Yep.
It switches off the frontal lobe. Judgment gone. You're impulsive, aggressive. I'm not an aggressive person. Aggression and judgment and forward thinking, it hijacks that part of the brain, and so you're having fake happiness, that's how I call it.
And then this aggression, as often people get very aggressive, don't they?
So on the come down, it's very common to say your brain's having to deal with the depletion of dopamine, and so therefore it comes through, I think, people coming down with maybe aggressive.
It's like speed. You stay up for a long time, don't you? You don't eat?
No, so it suppresses your hunger.
Did you lose weight?
In fact, I put on weight. So I ballooned to
Really? That's unusual.
Yeah. Well, initially you may lose weight, but then unfortunately what happens, it switches off. Your metabolism is up the creek.
Right.
And what else happened to me personally is that I developed sleep apnea. Not only was staying awake because of the ice, but when I was sleeping, I wasn't having a restorative sleep.
Oh.
So
how did you get out of it, Michael Alder?
So what happened was I had a brain aneurysm soon after this episode in Melbourne. The blood pressure in my body was so high that I vomited and I felt dizzy, and I thought it was a in-rear infection or nausea. So I didn't do anything for 4 days. Smashed it with Panadine from the chemist, but it wasn't resolving. Had a GP come and see me at home, said it was fine. It wasn't obvious aneurysm, but went to the Royal Melbourne I walked a few steps for the doctor, and he goes, "You've got ataxia," which is like a common presentation for a stroke or a brain aneurysm. They clipped it for 8 hours in surgery, and I got a big scar on the back of my head.
Wow!
But you'd think that would be enough to not use, but. I got released after having 6 weeks rehab and actually come to the realisation that I would never, you know, after that scare, not do it. But it takes 12 months for your brain to heal after ice. Mm-hmm. And so it was soon after. And I was no family support network there for me. So having the relationship broken away, the friends that I was with were using. I didn't use initially, but I succumbed to it, my better judgment.
Yeah.
And continue using, I'll just speed it up a bit, continue using till 2007.
So how long had you used all up?
So it was about 3 years.
Wow.
So it was...
And what caused you to stop finally? Yeah.
So I didn't really have much thought about myself. It was more that my mum, Greek mother, who was like a dog with a bone.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and she kept coming to my place, and I saw that it as an annoyance during the period of time, but it was it was a way in which she said, right, she gave me a deadline, 12th of September, you're going into the Adelaide Clinic. She organised an addiction specialist, got referred in through, and had a detoxification. And so after that, during that 2 weeks, the psychiatrist gave me some tranquilizer to just knock me out, which is what I needed.
Yep.
Slept, recovered, restored, got treated brilliantly by the staff at the Adelaide Clinic. They just treated me like they were non-judgmental, they were loving and caring.
Good.
So then
and here you are.
Here I am.
It's very common it throughout Australia, in cities and regional areas. Andrea Simmons is the CEO of the Australian Anti-Ice Campaign. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you, Peter, for having us on the show.
You know Michael's story, of course. How endemic is it? How common is it, Andrea?
Peter, is very common today. I think that ice is hidden in the facade, that it doesn't look like a heavy drug. Mm. You know, it's some crystals in a clear pipe, and and furthermore, they are cutting ecstasy and putty pills with ice. So that people become more addicted and they are coming back for more and more often, and then they get transferred onto the real deal, and they're lacing marijuana with ice as well in the streets because it's a lot cheaper to make and to deal and to hide, you know. So it's very prominent in our streets, and there's not much being done about it, really.
Well, there are responses. Governments are making responses. Well, how long has your group been around, Andrea?
We've been around for almost 4 years now here in Queensland and New South Wales.
And South Australia, right, with Michael.
South Australia now with Michael, yeah. And in Melbourne as well. So we have slowly started rolling out in different states. So, and the government, they're doing a wonderful job in terms of a responsive approach to the issue. You know, I sat with the Health Minister of Queensland, and he said, Andrea, how many more rehabs do we continue to open? And that's my point exactly. You know, we need to be not reactive to a problem, but proactive to stop people actually touching this drug.
How do we do that?
Well, we do that by lived experience, Peter. We've partnered up with a program in the United States who is, you know, fairly graphic, and it's fairly hard hitting with the truth about ICE.
Yeah.
And there's an education component, and we integrate lived experience into this presentation workshop that we take into schools and workplaces, where when we speak about the psychosis or the panic attacks or the weight loss or the heart failure, that this drug, brings upon one, we can actually speak from a lived experience perspective. All our presenters are trained with dual diagnosis and have undergone at least 12 months recovery before they are allowed to, work in that field.
When do you feel on this drug, Mike? Or have you used it, Andrea? Have you had experience of it?
I have, Peter. I was introduced to it by somebody that I trusted for, I had known for 13 years, and, you know, the words were, you trust me, don't you? It's just going to make you relax a bit. And it didn't look like anything bad, Peter. It didn't have ingredients label, and it didn't have, you know, a side effects on it. It just looks like something you smoke. And I thought, you know, I'm old enough and wise enough, I won't get addicted, it won't happen to me. And so I just wanted to try what it was going to be like. And, you know, people try things, Peter, and you just don't think that it's going to happen to you, you know. I got entrapped in this world of psychosis and depression and suicide and, you know, sickness for 2 years. It was horrific.
Terrible. And, I mean, you only got to speak to people in casualty departments to learn of, you know, the horror of it, because people become violent and psychotic. And it is really, really nasty. And I think the message should be, don't mess with this, don't start. Not even once on Michael's T-shirts. Great T-shirt, not even once.
Thank you. We also have a T-shirt that says, don't mess with meth. Because it makes you talk like that, you know, you like trying to get a lisp after a while, because it's so, you know, it actually destroys the brain.
Michael, you would agree with all this, and you're helping here in South Australia.
Yeah, that's right. So we're developing a, basically we've got 10 volunteers at the moment.
Good.
They're actually being run through brief intervention training, which is 2 hours of chemically speaking training, which is nationally accredited through a partnership. George Patrici, and they get a certificate at the end, and then they're able to provide brief interventions through AAIC to people in active addiction that want help by putting a tripod of support.
AAIC, the Australian Anti-ICE Campaign.
That's correct.
Well, I wish you well, folks, and because it is a scourge, and we hear... If you suspect that a parent, a child, or a parent even, or a grandchild were on this, what should you do? Andrea?
Thank you. We're here to help, Peter. This is why we do what we do. You know, our hearts are here, you know, say this is happening more and more every day, and we know the way out and what needs to be done to help somebody out of addiction. So, you know, we have clinical counsellors who run family support lines and are there to help people that are in crisis and they might have a loved one in addiction.
Sure.
We help them to understand the cycle of addiction. We help them to understand what's happening in the brain of their loved one and why they're behaving the way that they are. And we help them to be ready to create a pathway into recovery for their loved one. And at any time that their loved one is ready to talk to somebody who's been through where they are going through, we are then happy to step in and have that conversation and help that person make those first few steps into detox and rehab, and to encourage them that there is hope, because if we can do it, they can do it. So we also do that side of AARC. We have the support network, the clinical counsellors, but also the brief intervention team.
And how do people contact you, please, Andrea?
They can contact us through our website. That's www.australianantiicecampaign.org.au.
Yes.
And they will find we have an Adelaide number. We have a head office number, a Melbourne number, so you can reach us on there. That's the best way.
Good luck to you. Thank you for coming on, Andrea Simmons, and also Michael Alder, and thank you for your candor in talking about your own addictions. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All the best.
Pleasure.
Here we are on ABC Radio Adelaide. In a moment, we'll hear about a travelling show with